going to go to Job chapter number 1, but I want to read you verse 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is a verse that you need and all that you need to know about tonight, but I'm just going to read it real quick to you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now go with me to Job chapter number 1. Now, what I want you to understand is Job is the picture of a saved man. Job is the picture of a saved man here. And the devil, as a saved person, saved man, God has a hedge about you. The devil cannot touch you unless God gives him permission to do so. And why does he do that? He does that to help us build ourselves and to know that what we can endure. But I'm going to preach this evening on attacks. The devil wants to attack. Now, the devil can't touch you necessarily, but he can touch some things in your life, especially those things that ain't redeemed. He can touch your family. He can touch different things in your life. And we're going to look at Job and see some of those things. Let's read here in Job chapter number 1. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job." I know it looks like Job, kids, but that's Job, okay? Just see, it's spelt the same, but you pronounce it Job, okay? "And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." So he was a saved man. He feared God. He stayed away from sin, kept sin out of his life. Job was a picture of a model Christian. He made sure he went above and beyond, making sure that he lived right, making sure his children lived right. Verse number 2. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So at the time that Job lived, Job's the wealthiest man there in the East. It says in verse number 4, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be," he didn't even say that they had, he said, "it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. So Job was a praying man. Job made up the hedge for his family. Job's a good picture of what a father should be. Praying for his kids, praying for his family, making sure that they're brought before God. It says now in verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from coming to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, And there was a day that his sons and daughters were eating and drinking their wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job, saying, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Father, I pray this evening that you would help me to preach the message that you've given me. Lord, it's not an easy thing to preach. God, Job is such a wonderful book, God. So much contained in it, we don't have time tonight to cover it. And I pray that you would help me now this evening to preach the message you've given me, Lord, about the attacks of the devil. God, the fiery darts of the devil, Lord, are all about us, God. God, you've warned us, God. Lord, we can't be possessed, we can't be oppressed, God. God, and you do it for a reason, God. People often wonder why the devil has free reign. But God, sometimes the trials we go through, just like what Job went through, are to bring others to the name of Christ. Help us now to be the examples that we need to be. Endure the attacks that come our way. May you be uplifted tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing that I want to look at here is, we're going to preach on tonight on the attacks of the devil. The attacks of the devil. I'm giving you this warning for some of you, because some of you have been recently have gotten saved, got your heart right with God. Maybe some of you that were backslid. But I'm going to tell you what, the devil's going to send out some attacks on you. We went through it. We've been through it. Miss Barbara Tim can tell you they've been through many. And listen, I just want you to know, Miss Barbara can testify, and Brother Tim can testify, even after 40 years, the attacks don't stop. They continue to come. God's got a purpose for it in your life. God allows, people often ask you, why does, if God's real, why does he allow this to happen? Why does he allow, listen, God has a purpose behind it. A lot of times, we go through storms that are not our own, that God brings us through storms so that others can see how we handle it to bring us to the name of Christ. And one of the things that you realize here, it was not anything that Job had done that caused his problems. Job was just serving God faithfully. He's living for the Lord. And Satan doesn't like that. He don't like it when somebody's sold out to God. He doesn't like it when people are faithful to the house of God. He don't like it when people want to see God do something. The devil doesn't like it. But listen, he still didn't have permission. He had to get permission from God to do that. God says, you know what? I know that Job, that's why I read you that verse of scripture. There in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, he's not going to let anything come your way that you can't endure. He's not going to let any trial, any tribulation come in your life that you can't overcome, that you can't get through by the grace of God. And that's what he's trying to do here. Number one, one of the ways that Satan likes to attack, and the way that he attacked Job here, number one was he attacked his finances. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to attack your finances. As a missionary, Miss Barbara and Tim, they've been at the hole up longer than us. They can testify that their finances have been attacked many times. But God's been faithful. God's brought it in, took care of them. There's been times where they've had times where they was broke down one time. Since we know them in the middle of New Mexico, right? Was when it broke down. That he keeps buying. I think that he's just a glutton for punishment myself. He keeps buying them Fords because he likes just being towed off the side of the road. I don't know. But listen, I love him. He's got a reason. God told him to buy. He felt like he went and got this truck, whatever it was, and God bought it. And there it was in the middle of New Mexico, and sitting on the side road with a blown-out motor on his truck, and a camper behind him, thinking, "What am I going to do?" Satan's probably in his ear going, "See, you messed up now, big guy. You don't know what you weren't in God's will. Using God's will, this wouldn't happen. Listen, we've been through that. You're going to go through the same thing. Satan's going to whisper in your ear when something comes up your way. I can go out this evening. The transmission can fall out of my truck." And Brother Tim will say, "Man, I told you not to get that Chevrolet. But listen, I know that God can give it to me as a blessing. He's going to take care of it." Brother Tim can tell you many times. I can tell you, listen, there was one time where we had a month's worth of meetings scheduled, and we just knew that God wanted us to go on. The day before we left, we didn't have a dime to be able to do it. And God took care of it, brought in every bit of money that we needed to go on that trip, to go on that month's worth of meetings, and took care of that time for us. The day we were supposed to leave, God took care of that. He will. You just got to learn to trust in Him. I know some of you right now are fighting the same battle we fought when we got right, when we got saved. That every one of us, I mean, I won't say everyone, there's some men that they tell you, that it's amazing how different we are. I know men right now that they'll say from the day they got saved, they started tithing and they never had a problem with it. Praise God, bless, praise the Lord for people like that. Then there's the rest of us that we do struggle with it. And the devil tells you, yeah, if you go doing that, you're not going to have enough money to make it through the month. You go doing that and God's not going to take care of you. You go tithing and giving your finances to the church and giving them offerings. All your money's not going to make it. I'm telling you right now, God's able and God's willing to take care of you. He's even said it. Turn with me to Malachi. Chapter number 3, right before the New Testament. We've talked about these verses, but I want to show you something specific in these verses in Malachi. Chapter number 3, the book right before the New Testament. Malachi chapter number 3. The devil wants to attack your finances, but here's one of the things God's given us. Here in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." Listen, I'm not holding a gun to you. I'm not going to force you to give. That's between you and the Lord. If you're not giving your faith promise missions, God's going to listen. God's going to take care of you. God, listen, you're cursed because you have made that promise. He said, "You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." He says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house." And what does he say here? "And prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." He said, "Prove me. Prove me, God." God's not going to be a debtor to any man. He wants to prove to you that if you'll give that tithe and you'll give that offering, He'll make your 90% go further than that 100% can go. We've seen it. We give more than 10%. Some of you in here may be, and you'll be able to testify. Miss Barbara, Tim can. We can. We get way more than 10%. And God makes that other 90%, 85, 80, 70, whatever it is. God will make that go further than what you'd have had if you'd have kept that 100%. But the devil's the one that comes and he attacks you as a young Christian especially. And God wants you to get right with him. God wants you to get tithes and offerings. Some of you will say, well, that's under the law. Hey, listen, if you believe that, you've not been here with us. Because long before the law came, in the book of Genesis, Abraham gave tithes and offerings to Melchizedek, which is a picture of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. You can go to the book of Hebrews and they'll tell you that. Abraham gave tithes and offerings long before the law was ever established. Jacob gave tithes to the Lord. And listen, it is our responsibility to make sure that we give our tithes and offerings. That's what the church is run by. Listen, you might as well know right now, while I'm here, while I'm the pastor of this church, and God's put me in charge of this, I'm not a dictator, but while I'm here, we don't do bait sales, we don't do yard sales. We believe that the church is supposed to be run by the tithes and offerings of the people and nothing else. I'm not out on the radio begging people to give to this church and help this church run. Listen, we've asked that some churches wanted to help to get this thing up and going, but our biggest prayer right now is not for other churches to help. Our biggest prayer right now is the church members that want to be a part of this to step up and financially take responsibility for this work. And most people have. I'm just telling you, but I'm just warning you tonight, because if you start giving, the devil's going to start attacking your finances. He's going to try to get in there. He's going to cause a problem between husband and wife. We've been there. You're going to sit. Listen, that's why it's important to sit down together and talk how the finances get spent. Job, that's why it's important for you and Miss Tammy to sit down and talk and say, here's how we need to spend the money properly. It's important for husbands and wives to do that. Why? Because Satan wants nothing more than to come in and get in one of you and cause you to think, listen, why should we give so much to the church? Why should we do this? Why should we spend money here? Listen, that's the number one cause of divorce is finances. And especially saved people, especially saved Christians, men and women, that wants nothing more than to cause problems. That's why, listen, we're pushing our daughters. But praise God for, I don't think we'll have as much trouble. We have trouble in other areas with this one. But I don't believe we're going to have trouble with finances. She's, listen, whatever man she marries, he's going to be, praise God, thank you for her. She's not a spender. She's so tight, she makes me look bad. I mean, you know, she is. This one on the other hand over here, this is a spender. And we're trying to work on her. But number one thing we're trying to put in the deal is, we don't want you to go in debt. We want you to try to do your best and never have to get in debt if you can help it. We want you to start your marriage off with being on the positive side. And you can listen to think of those marital problems you could have avoided in your marriage if you'd have had your finances and somebody took the time to teach you how to balance a checkbook. I'm telling you, I am shocked at the number of kids that don't even know how to balance a checkbook coming out of high school. We've got a friend in North Carolina. If I called her name, Miss Barbara, Tim would know who she is. And my daughters would know who she is. She was in college. And her economics teacher told them, an economics teacher in college told them that his daughter thought that as long as she had checks, that she was okay. As long as she had checks in the checkbook, she was okay. This is an economics teacher at a college, and his daughter thought, listen, that's why we try to, we want our kids to make sure they're saved, and we want to make sure that they're praying for the person they're going to marry. We want to make sure that they understand finances.
But listen, you may be in your 30s, you may be in your 40s, and you've never really thought about it. But I'm telling you right now, as new Christians, Satan's going to fight you tooth and nail, your finances. He's going to listen, tell you if you give that to the church, if you do that, oh, God's not going to take care of you. But God said there in Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 10, He said, prove me. He said, go ahead, I'll show you what I can do. If you'll give your tithes and offering, prove me. I'm telling you, we went through the same things. I've met some men said they've never battled that problem. Praise God for them. For the other 99.99999% of us, we battle that. I know you, tell me, listen, some of you think as a preacher, man, that we've reached that. I've reached to the point where as soon as we get it, I'm figuring out my tithes and offering so I can go ahead and get to the Lord and get out of my mind. But I'm going to tell you what, my flesh and Satan saying, do you realize what you could do with that kind of money? Do you realize what you could do with that kind of money? My flesh, that's why I get it out of my hand and give it to the Lord, give Him His money as quick as possible. So that I don't get some kind of temptation. Listen, one of the things that we talked about for qualifications for a preacher is he's not to be guilty of filthy lucre. One of the things will be before we allow some man to come in here and candidate for this church, because there are men out there that think because they're the pastor of the church that they don't have to give tithes and they don't have to give the missions. No, no. A preacher is just as responsible to give tithes and offerings and commissions as it is the members of the church. And before we let anybody come in here, when the time comes to candidate for a pastor, we're going to make sure that he tithes to his church and that he's given the missions, or he won't even be considered for this. Because how's he to get up and preach you on finances if he don't trust the Lord for his? He'll attack your finances. He did there in verses 14 through 17. He wiped out Job's finances. Number two, he wiped out or he attacked Job's family. In verse number 13, he said there, in verse number 13, the sons and daughters, they'd all come together. Then you go on down to verse number 18. I didn't write that right on my notes, but he says in verse 18, there came another, said, thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in our eldest brother's house, and a wind came in the wilderness and smote the four corners, and it fell and it killed. He'll listen, the next thing he'll attack is your family. He may not kill them, but he may even turn your family against you. Go with me real quick. I got to hurry up. Matthew chapter number 10. I want to be quick through these. Matthew chapter number 10. I want to show you. Listen. This is what I tell you. The devil can't attack those that are saved, but he can use those that are lost. And in Matthew chapter number 10, I know Job lost his kids and family. And the devil can attack your family, but he can also use your family to attack you. Matthew, listen, we've been there. We've been attacked by family. I've been made fun of by my own family. I've had a family that told us, why you want to go out there? There's plenty of places to pastor, plenty of places to preach there in North Carolina. Listen, God, the devil used your family against you. Here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, he says, and as they went out, I'm in chapter 9. Let me flip over the page. Verse 32, sorry. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. What's that sword? We talked about the other day. Right here's the sword. This right here, man, divides families. It divides people. It divides even churches. He said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. He said in verse 35, For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own house. Excuse me. The devil will use your family against you. I'm telling y'all, we've been there. We've been there. We was telling this, those of you that are there, just a minute ago before service started. My mother-in-law did not like me. Man, she gave me the awfulest time for all those years. I don't remember when she passed away in 2010. She passed away in 2010, so we was married. We was only married for 5 years, but my mother-in-law gave us the awfulest time. She never did come to be saved, but she did finally apologize to me about a month before she found out she had terminal cancer. Man, she gave me this. This woman nitpicked me to death. She nitpicked me to death. She found anything she could to try to criticize me to my wife. One of the things that she told my wife one time while we were dating, she said, "Well, I don't like the fact that he never touches you in front of us." She got mad because I didn't hug all over, hang all over my wife while we were dating in front of her. She got mad about that. And my wife told her, said, "Don't you think that's respectful that he doesn't do that to you in your presence?" But she was just looking. Listen, family, the devil doesn't care. He'll use your finances. He'll take your family and turn your family against you. He'll do it. He'll turn your mom and daddy, if that's what it takes, against you trying to serve God. He'll do whatever he can. I love my mother-in-law. And listen, I'm glad that she got the opportunity. She heard the truth. And we saw her under conviction. She never got saved. But it's just not my mother-in-law. Listen, I've had my own brothers give me a hard time when I first got saved. I've been called Bible thumper and everything else by my own brothers. But I still love them. I've been criticized sometimes. Listen, I've been criticized by people out in the world, and it does hurt. These people that say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but things will never hurt me." Things do hurt. It does hurt. I know sometimes I pick around too much. I understand that. But I'll tell you what. I've been picked on by the world. I expect it. I've been picked on by my own family. It hurts. I've been there too. You get in church, some of you right now, you probably have family going, "Why are you going down there that much? Why you got to go to church that much?" Your family. The devil don't care what he uses. He's going to use something to attack you. And as you get saved, as you're getting in church trying to get sold out to God, he'll turn your family against you. He will. Number three, go back over here to Job chapter number 2. We didn't quite read it. The next thing he attacked in chapter number 2, he said, "Now in chapter 2 again, there was a day that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'From whence camest thou?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?'" Can you imagine that? Job just went through all that. Imagine if Job heard what was going on. Job just went through all that, and he didn't sin, nor charged he God foolishly. And Job said, "The God give, God the Lord taketh away." He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And Satan comes again, and he says, "Well, I'm walking in the earth and looking for who I can attack." And God says, "Have you considered Job? Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bones and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. The next thing that Satan will attack, he'll attack your flesh. Yes. I'm telling you, listen, God, now listen, it happened. God allows it to happen, but He'll make those make a way with, for you to escape. He'll give you the grace to get through that. When Brother Tim's going through those things with his heart, he may not understand what's happening, why he's going through that, why is his flesh doing what it is, and he may not understand that, but God gives him the grace to get through it. The devil wants to attack your flesh. Listen, the devil wants your, he wants you to come up on Sunday mornings with your stomach hurting just a little bit and say, oh, I can't go to church. I'm not feeling good this morning. Why? Because he wants to keep you out of church to hear the message. Bad things happen, I understand. Sometimes your fences fall down. Listen, I can put that in there with my finances, your family, and sometimes fences fall down, don't you? Some things happen, listen, but you got to just purpose in your heart that no matter what, I'm going to be back. I may have to sleep because I was up late, but tonight I'm going to be in the house of God. Nothing's keeping me out of it. Listen, He'll attack your flesh. He will. He wants to, that's what He did to Job. He attacked his flesh.
Now listen, we can look at this as a couple different ways. He can also bring things fleshly into your life too. You know, that listen, how many times has people been brought... I worked with a company as an electrician that there were many times where they said, listen, you got to work. We work sometimes, we got to work 7 days a week. And they're like, well, you know, I know that you want to go to church, but just think of the money. And that's what they want you to think of. They want you to get that fleshly desire. And I tell them it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. I don't want it. I don't want that 7 days a week. I want to be in church. I want to be where... Listen, that's what Satan wants to tempt you with. He wants to tempt you with that fleshly desire. Also, listen, just we talked about this right here. You better be careful with this right here. This right here is a very dangerous thing. It can be a very good tool, but it also be a very dangerous tool. It can do some fleshly things on that too. I remember one time, I don't know how far it made it up, but I know at one time, fleshly, because of flesh, Facebook, and people reuniting with on Facebook with all whole high school flames and things, moved way, caused divorce. That moved up way on up the list, Facebook did, of the cause of divorce was Facebook. Satan wants to, listen, he wants to appeal to your flesh. Men, listen, men, I joked around a little bit about this morning, but I'm going to tell you what now. Your wife, God gives your wife an inclination. Don't you just, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I joke around about it, but I trust my wife. I joke around about it, but I'm telling you, I trust my wife's judgment. If she's wrong, let her be wrong. I'd rather caution on the side of error than to put myself in a situation I won't be in. Amen. He'll use your flesh, man. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, he'll put you in that predicament where he'll put some... And listen, just because the devil can't attack you don't mean he can't bring some woman into your life to do it. Don't mean he can't find some lost woman to come in and tempt you and try to get you hold to your flesh. Number four, let me move on here. He says in verse number nine, he says, now then said his wife unto him, doest thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. He'll attack your finances. He'll attack your family. He'll attack your flesh. He'll attack your faith. Sometimes, I'll tell you what, it hurts. When somebody you look up to in the faith lets you down. It hurts when somebody that you put high regard for in your life lets you down. I may let you down.
You may say, you know, at the end of all this, when we get done here with what God's called us for our part, you may say, look back and say, well, I wouldn't have done it like that. And I may lose your faith. Or you may lose faith in me. Don't lose faith in God. The devil won't, listen, he's the one that wants you. Listen, I'm not going to do everything exactly like you want. I'm not going to do everything exactly like I want. I want it to be exactly what he wants for this place. It hurts. It hurts when somebody that you put faith in. Job put faith in this woman. He loved her. And some people say, you know, she was probably being unnecessarily harsh. But I'm telling you what, she lost 10 kids too. She lost her finances too. And now she's seeing the man that she loves, the man that she's had 10 children with, and Satan's attacked his flesh from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And she's thinking, Job, you've sinned. It's got to be you. Just curse God and die. And Job says, I've not done anything wrong. There's going to be coming up storms in your life. You're going to feel the same way. I didn't do anything wrong. God told me to do this. You just hold on. The Satan may be using his attack against you. But God's going to get the glory and honor out of your life if you'll just hold on.
Amen. Yes.
He'll attack your faith. Finally, let me just go to this last point. Finally, he'll use your friends. One of the things that I've noticed in 20 years, all my friends that I thought I had when I got saved, they're all gone now. My best friends, there was a group of us, four of us running around together. From middle school into high school, and even after we graduated, I don't know where one of them is tonight. We were four friends. We were closely knit together from middle school through high school. I don't know where one of them's at tonight.
Satan used his friends. You can mark this down here. You can look in Job chapter 2, verse 11 through 13 for the sake of times. I'm not going to get into it tonight.
But his friends, they come up and they don't say anything. I think it says for 7 days, they don't say anything. They just sit there with him. That's the way good friends are. They just come up and just sit there with him. But at the end of those 7 days, what do? For the next 40-some chapters, they just tell Job, you're wrong. Job, you've sinned. Job, it's got to be you. Job says, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm serving God like I'm supposed to. Your friends that you think are friends, they'll criticize you for doing serving God. They'll make fun of you. Satan does not care how he attacks you, whether it's your finances, whether it's your family, whether it's your flesh, your faith, your friends, even your fences. Satan doesn't care how he attacks you. I'm preaching tonight for you young Christians. He's going. It's not a question of if. It's a question of when.
Yes.
He attacks you. Because it's going to come. It's going to come in your life. Something's going to come your way. I wish I could say that ever since I've been saved, I'm walking on clouds, everything's good. But it's just like, listen, it's just like we told these kids, you can't live on candy all the time. Sometimes you got to have some meat and taters. You got to have some vegetables in your life. You've got to have those trials because it draws you closer to God, shows you how much sweeter He is when He brings you through. I want to end with this verse. Go with me.
1 Peter chapter number 5. I want to show you what Satan really is. Because I'm warning you tonight of the attacks. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Get a chance, y'all, to read the book of Job. It's a really good book. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I'm going to do chapter number 7, verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 7 first. He says, before he gives this verse about the devil, he says in verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, 7 and 8. You ought to underline those verses. I'm telling you, before he tells you about the devil, he says you ought to cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you know what a lion's looking for? When a lion's hunting, they're looking for that sickly little antelope or elk or gazelle or zebra. He's looking for that one that's sickly. He's looking for that one that's slower. He's looking for that one that's away from the herd. See, that's why we preach about being a church. Because as a church, listen, I don't know every one of your intimate deep pain. We're not asking for that. But if you're going through something in your life, we're here to help pray for you and bear each other's burdens. Why? Because as a group, we can come before God. But that one little zebra that's off to himself, he's a sitting duck. The devil's going to send attacks. It's not a question of if. It's a question of when. That's why it's important to stay faithful to the house of God. That's why it's important to stay faithful to that word of God. Because those attacks are going to come. We told you, there's only one thing promised in this Christian life. That's tribulations and trials. How about it tonight? Have you been going through one of those things? Maybe some of you have. I know what it's like myself to feel like you're alone. But you're not alone. That's what we're here for. We're here for one another. I tell you, man, I carry my phone with me basically 24/7. Now, the other day I left it in here. But if you got something you need to call and talk, you need to meet and pray, men, I'm here. Ladies, you've got something that you're going through, my wife is there. That's what we're here for. All this other stuff, the dress that can wait. You and this church are the most important reason that we're here in La Crosse, Kansas. The devil's wanting to pick you off tonight. Don't let him. Don't let him. Stay faithful. God has a way to you escape whatever comes your way. Father, I pray this evening now that you would work in hearts and lives. Be with us now as we go out this week, God, to be able to withstand the fiery darts of the devil. Lord, to stay away from that roaring lion seeking to devour us, God. Help us, Lord, here now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. I'm going to give you an invitation.